Welcome to the Droma Preventative Health Podcast, hosted by the Jewish Orthodox Women's Medical Association. We provide you with up-to-date information on health topics geared towards the Orthodox Jewish community. This podcast content is provided for informational purposes only and is not intended as medical advice or as a substitute for the medical advice of a physician.
Hi, I'm Brenda Newman, and I'm a medical student at Zucker School of Medicine at Hofstra Northwell. I serve on the JOMA Pre-Med Committee as co-vice chair, and I guest host the Specialty Spotlight episodes on the JOMA podcast. The Specialty Spotlight episodes are geared toward anyone who is interested in learning about different medical specialties. In this episode, I will be interviewing Dr. Alyssa Minkin. Dr. Alyssa Minkin is host of the JOMA podcast, which provides health education geared toward the Orthodox community. Dr. Minkin also produces the JOMA Preventative Health Hotline and is past chair of the JOMA Preventative Health Committee. She is board-certified pediatrician in Oceanside, New York. She attended Johns Hopkins University, followed by New York University School of Medicine. She completed her internship and residency at Brookdale University Hospital and Medical Center. Dr. Minkin is on the leadership panel of the Haredi Health Coalition, which serves as a liaison between the New York City's Department of Health and the New York Haredi community. She has worked on numerous COVID-19 and vaccine-related community health efforts in the past, including MS Vaccine Task Force. Dr. Minkin's public health efforts on behalf of the Orthodox community has been featured in numerous Orthodox media outlets, including Mishpacha and Wellspring magazine. Thank you for joining us on this podcast episode, Dr. Minkin.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I always start off with, why did you choose a career in medicine and what characteristics make one a good fit for a career in medicine?
Classic questions. Okay. So I knew I wanted to be a doctor from kind of an insanely early age, and I still don't know what triggered it. I was three. I don't know how I knew, you know, so young. And I had it narrowed down to pediatrician by age seven. Maybe because I was a kid, I don't know. I have no doctors in my immediate family, so it's not like I had role models for that. I definitely had the support of my parents who bought me a real stethoscope, not a toy one, and a real otoscope, and I used to practice on my siblings. I loved the Dr. Spock book. You know, that was a really popular book for raising kids, like a little medical encyclopedia, and I loved it, and I read it from cover to cover around age seven, which is probably how I chose pediatrics.
Oh, well. And what do you think would make one a good fit for a career in medicine?
So I don't think there's any one specific trait, but I would say passion and drive are really, really important because it's hard. It's a lot of work and it's a long haul.
Yeah, I like that you started at like the age of three, knowing my niece right now, she's three and she thinks she wants to be a doctor. So we'll see.
Oh, maybe. It's unusual to start at three and never veer. I mean, I never veered.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what triggered me at three, but I was absolutely adamant. So
I was more at the age of six, but also I looked into other things, but I didn't really I always stayed on the medical path. Like every part of my journey kind of led me more towards medicine, which seems like was your journey also.
Right. And six is still young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And can you walk us through a typical day for you as a pediatrician and tell us why you decided to go into the field of pediatrics? You kind of covered why you sort of
decided. Right. I love kids. I love kids. And I was interested in it since I was a kid. My typical day, I actually work part-time, which is how I have time to do the podcast. Thank you for letting me be a guest on my own podcast. So I work part-time. I work some Sundays a month and Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays. So on a typical day, I see a mix of children of different ages, from newborn all the way till 21, 22. I do well visits. I do sick visits. And it's pretty fast-paced. You know, different practices have doctors see different volumes of patients. Our practice is probably, 25 to 30 patients per doctor per day, which is, I would think, probably medium. that's about, 10 to 15 minutes a visit. So to me, that's pretty quick in terms of how much time we have. And it's busy, and it's very varied in the issues that of the children that I see.
And on the topic of like a pediatric office, you said that it's kind of busy. So it could be like very busy, and especially like at certain times of year, like flu season. What advice would you give to parents trying to raise concerns about their children's health and development in what may seem to be a hectic setting?
See, I really, really love that question, because that actually comes up all the time. You know, in a typical well visit, we are supposed to be covering a huge host. We have to look at how the child's gaining and growing and going to the bathroom and talking and doing at school and all these issues that the doctor is supposed to be addressing. And then the parent comes with their own set of concerns. And I feel like it's really, really important to give a chance for the parents to raise their concerns in that visit. And that's, to me, one of the most important things that I have to do, is give that time and give that chance for the parent to say that, and not just keep barreling ahead with questions, but say, do you have any questions? Do you have any concerns? So I think that's really important from the doctor's perspective. From the parent's perspective, I think you are your child's best advocate, and you need to be able to articulate your concerns about your child. You know, a lot of times the doctor may say, oh, that's normal. And the mother's instinct is, no, it's not. Don't be afraid to say so. The other thing that's really important is to have realistic expectations of visits that nowadays in general are short. Like in my practice, they may be longer than in some other practices. They may be 5, minutes, even shorter. And so I think it's important to be prepared to make another visit and come back and address, especially if you've left and you say, oh, I forgot to ask this, and it's important, make another visit. That's my best advice.
That's great advice. I like that a lot. As an advocate and leader for patient education, what advice would you give the physicians and future physicians listening to this podcast episode to ensure our patients are better informed on all health topics pertaining to them?
So that's also a really, really good question. First of all, listen to my podcast. It's a chance for me to plug the podcast. When I do the podcast, I really hope that physicians will listen as well, because I think our job nowadays is to have a collaborative role with the families that we see, whether it's pediatrics, where you're collaborating with the parents, but also often with the child, or in adult medicine, where your patient is the adult. Collaborate means work with them and respect their input. So I think that it's important to respect that and to respect that they come in with their own set of information. It's not simply that they're, empty vessels waiting to be filled. So I think it's important to find out what the family knows already. I think it's important to offer resources that they can take home. It could be written. It could be something they could watch or listen to, like my podcast. I actually offer my podcast as a resource in my practice, even though it's the Jewish Orthodox Women's Medical Association, the Jewish organization. I offer it to all families in my practice, especially when there's a specific topic that I want them to have more information about. Because again, the visits we have are limited in time. There's only so much information that you can give. And not only that, but studies have shown that when a person comes to the doctor, they really retain only a very small percent of what they hear. So it's also important to ask back, do you understand? Do you know what I asked you to do? To get that, to see if they got it, to give things in writing, right? And to repeat. So I think those are really important. And then I always say call back. If you have questions, call back. I like to joke, I'm on call on Monday nights and I'm just sitting by the phone waiting for you to call. It's what I say. But what I mean is I want them to feel free to call back, because the limit of the time is something that we have no control over. But to have an open door to know you can come back and ask questions, first of all, it relieves the anxiety of like, forgetting to ask this. But also it tells them, I'm here for you. I'm here to have an ongoing conversation. And that goes back to the question before about what if there are issues that they either didn't feel like they had time to raise, or they didn't feel like they were adequately addressed, call back. But again, have realistic expectations, because we're seeing, several patients an hour, and it's hard to make time for those conversations. Again, especially if they're long conversations. Nowadays, a lot of doctor's office will tell you need to do a telehealth. And that's the way to have more time with your doctor. You really can't expect your doctor on their own time to spend 15, 20, 30 minutes talking to you. that's not such a realistic expectation, at least nowadays. But I think it's important to work within that system and to reach back to the doctor to make sure that your concerns are addressed.
And I also always recommend the podcast as like a preventative health learning thing also to the pre-meds and medical students. Because I do think even as a medical student, like, you know, even if I learn these stuff in class, I learn so much from the preventative health podcast episodes.
I'm really glad because, like I said, I do try to address it to, you know, physicians and physicians in training as well. Because my perspective, and we talked about a little bit about this before, and I'm not going to go into it too much, is that I ended up staying home with, and I've talked a little bit about this on my podcast, I ended up staying home for a while with my children, including one with significant medical issues and disabilities. And I feel like that made me into a hybrid. Like, I'm part mommy advocate and I'm part pediatrician. And so that mommy advocate part of me wants the pediatricians and the other doctors to hear this. A lot of times I will interview people who are actually advocates more than physicians. And I want physicians and physicians in training to hear what they have to say. I think there's a lot of important messages that they have to give over.
Yeah, for sure.
So I'm glad that you do that. Thank you.
Yeah, I see that in the podcast. And you could learn a lot about, like, you know, patient perspective in that sense and patient education, which helps us educate our patients.
Absolutely.
You're a host of the JOMA podcast and past chair of the JOMA Preventive Health Committee. What role do you see JOMA playing in providing health education in the Orthodox community?
So that I am so proud. I am so honored to be part of JOMA that from the very beginning, I will never forget the very first event that we had. And Dr. Maureen Nemetsky, who gets full credit for this, stood up there and said, there's a measles outbreak. We are Jewish physicians. We should do something because the measles outbreak, this was in 2019, I believe, was centered in a lot of our from communities. And she said, we need to reach out and do something. And she made a program that we called a hotline. And that's actually how the podcast came to be, because we found out that the original program that was developed, which was to offer measles vaccines in homes, was not what people were looking for. They were looking for information. And so we made what's often called in these communities a hotline, an information line for people who don't use internet, and then we spread it to the podcast. So we still have that hotline or information line up and running. We try to keep it updated, and we have also information on the podcast because it should be for all different groups of people. And like I said, I share it with patients in my practice who were not even Jewish. Most of the information is not specific to Orthodox Judaism or Judaism.
What advice would you like to leave the pre-med and medical students listening to the podcast with?
So one of my favorite interviews you did was with my friend, Dr. Alyssa Hirsch. I love how she said, it's not lean in, it's tilt. So I'm stealing that from her. I absolutely love, alluding to the fact that I took time off to be with my family. And then I came back and I feel like I bounced forward. Like I was able to take all that I learned from being a stay-at-home mom of a child with disabilities and bring it to being an even better doctor. So the message I want to leave is your life is more than medicine. Medicine is a really important part of it and you need to put a lot into it, but live your life. Make sure that your life is balanced and don't worry that when you're tilting more away from medicine into your family, that's somehow going to be bad. Family has to come first. You have to take care of your family. And that's really, really important. And you can still be an excellent doctor. And that's why I like that tilting analogy. Because I think that kind of gives you a way of looking at it that it's not forever, right? You might need to take some time off, maybe more than other people, but you can bounce back. You can get back into it. I do think, though, that it's important to continue to be involved in medicine because medicine is not a job. It's really a calling. I know other people have said that to you, and I think it's really, really true. So I don't recommend tilting all the way out of medicine for a very long period of time. I recommend trying to keep tilting back and forth so that you don't lose your involvement and your skills in medicine while you take care of your family.
Thank you for providing us with this valuable knowledge and for all you do for Droma and the Jewish community. I would like to remind our audience to please rate and review the Droma podcast on iTunes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Droma Preventative Health Podcast. If you've enjoyed this, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and share this with your friends. For more information, check out our Instagram at @Joma_org. Check out our website, www.joma.org, that's JOWMA.org, or email us at health@joma.org.